Jesus, we are so appreciative, Lord, that you have ever called us out from the world. Lord, what would we do if we were still staggering on, Lord, trusting in the things the news commentators are telling us, just worried the worries of the world, clutching our rags and hoping, Lord, that it doesn't hit before we die. Lord, you have delivered us with a glorious deliverance. You have made yourself known to us, Lord. And Lord, you have chosen to come by our families, Lord, and teach us. And Lord, we moan and groan, but we know, Lord, it's the right thing and the correct thing, and it will bring peace in the end. And we thank you, Lord, for your chastening, your correction, your blessings, your answers to prayer, and the wonderful things that you are doing for us. It is just so remarkable, Lord. We just praise you. Now, Lord, this day we need to hear from you, Lord. We feel your presence drawing near to us, Lord, in this coming year. We can sense, Lord, that there is a new visitation of God at hand. We know, Lord, it's fraught with tremendous consequences for every living human being. And we pray, Lord, that we will not miss the mark, Lord. You have trained us for nearly 7 years, that we will be ready for the hour that now is upon us. And we pray, Lord, that we might be so full of resolve, using our experience and teaching what we have learned, Lord, what you have taught us, and through experience, through precept, that we shall really stand, Lord, and just go right through with you, Lord, and with flying colors, and just seize the prize that is at hand. We love you, Lord. Now, bless our families and bring in those who are wavering, Lord, for they are still trying to enjoy themselves in Sodom, and they are burying themselves under the garbage. And we pray, Lord, we may hold a true light to them, Lord, that they may come out by the grace of God and stand in the hour which is upon us. Forgive us our many sins, Lord, and keep our hearts always forgiving, always loving, always rejoicing and singing. Never bow down with doubt or fear, hatred or anything, Lord, that is not of you, but always full of health and joy and peace and life. Oh, grant it to us, Lord, that we may be good children, dear children, and stand. Now, Lord, we mean to do your will, so we ask your help in teaching this day that we might say exactly what the Spirit is saying. We carefully give you all the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. We turn to John 14. Now, we've been teaching about revival, which caused us to branch over into what the revival is all about, which is not, and we started Nehemiah, but I feel pressed this morning to deal with what we've been dealt with many times, what we talked about in India, but it's on my mind. Bob Marley's heard this many, many times. John 14, we'll read together verses 18 through 23. And I want you to note it carefully because it's really, I don't say it's new doctrine, it's been in the Bible since it was written, but I think it's telling us here something that is truly astounding. I certainly haven't understood before to any extent that the Lord is pressing on my mind. So we'll start at John 14, 18 through verse 23. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Now, I want you to look at that closely, because it speaks of a coming of the Lord with which we are not all that familiar. Something that I don't think I've ever heard preached. I can't remember ever having heard it preached, except that old Brother Fullerton implied it many years ago, but I have never heard this preached. But the Lord is pressing it on my mind that this coming of the Lord is taught in the Old Testament and the New. That's one fact. And the second fact is that it has begun, which means that our response to this is just very simple. We just seek Jesus. We just seek the Lord and say, Lord, if this is true, then help me to adapt myself to this situation. Now, there's abundant scripture, and I'm not going to go rushing through. You won't be able to think about a barrage of stuff. There is a lot of stuff. But we'll take it very simply. What I'm saying to you very simply is that the scripture teaches clearly that there is a coming of the Lord to his people, which is not his coming in the clouds of glory. Now, I'm not talking about where Jesus said when they say, lo here or lo there, go out in the desert. I'm not talking about anything that is like that. I'm saying that the scripture teaches that Jesus, before he comes in the clouds of glory, is coming to his church to purify the church. And that the scripture teaches it very plainly. There's a making straight of the way of the Lord, so that when the Lord comes, every valley will be exalted, and every mountain shall be brought down, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain before he comes. That the line will be drawn before the Lord comes. That the church will be without spot or wrinkle before the Lord comes. At least that part of the church that's in the that rises to meet him in the air, the first shot out of the barrel, the kings and priests of the Lord, that part of the church. I think personally the church will include all of God's people, but that I don't know how God's going to do it, but let's just content ourselves with the issue at hand. The scripture teaches clearly, and we just read it, that the Lord is going to manifest himself to his people and not unto the world. Now, this is important. And it certainly isn't going to happen after Jesus comes in the clouds. It's going to happen before he comes, and the types show this. Now, look at here. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Not to the world. I will come to you. Now, when the coming of the Lord is complex, it's made up of many parts. The last part, the day of Christ, in that sense, the Lord will come in the clouds of glory. Every eye shall see him. That is the foundation of the book of Revelation. Every eye shall see him. It's a coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven. At that time, the dead will be resurrected. We will not be resurrected prior to that time. That is the historic coming of Jesus in the clouds. The dead will be raised. We will rise to meet him in the air at that time. And you know my teaching, there will be no rising of any special group before the Lord comes in the clouds. It's simply not scriptural. But it is true, according to the scripture, in many places, that the Lord will come before his visible coming to make his paths straight. So you make straight the path of the Lord. The king will not come in the installation of his kingdom until the way has been made plain. Now you can see right away that this means that the Lord will have to come prior to his coming and divide. He will have to divide. And I'm saying to you, in the name of Jesus, that this is taking place today. And the types show that after Pentecost comes the coming of the king, and it will come the day, the judgment, the reconciliation, and then the tabernacling. It has nothing to do with going to heaven. It has nothing to do with our traditions. It has to do with only with what the Bible says. Now look at this. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. You see me. Now, we don't, but I'm going to submit to you that the day in which we are living, we will see the Lord. In other words, he's not going to come into your bedroom. He's going to come into your heart in a greater way than you have known and reveal himself to you. Now, I can do no more than bear witness. The Lord will have to do it. And as I say, our response is not to get busy with other things, but to seek Jesus. This is a day, in 1983 is going to be a year to seek Jesus, like we have never sought him before. Because when he comes, he's going to come to his church, but the world is going to feel the impact of that coming. He's going to reveal himself to his church and straighten it up in preparation for his coming. And this is a day of repentance. I was talking to a brother over the phone yesterday, and he was telling me how his church was growing. I said, man, that's tremendous. And he says, well, what are you preaching now and there? I says, repentance. He says, it isn't being preached up here. So I said, I'll send you the Wilkerson tape. He says, great, I'd love it. He says, it isn't being preached here. See, God's word today is repentance. It's not how to get rich. It's not how to use God. It's not how to do this and that. It's to repent, to humble yourself. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, it's a day to humble ourselves. Humble, humble. See, that's the thing. We'll do anything except pray, because that requires humility, to get down in your face and pray in front of other people, your husband, your wife, your children, whatever, your mother and father. Requires humility. We're proud. We don't want anybody to see us. Pray, humble yourself, and seek my face. That is, you're looking, where's the face of Jesus? Where's the face of Jesus? I will hear from heaven and turn from their wicked ways. See, that's where they repent. And turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, three things. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. Now, the land is where the nation benefits. But the problem is with God's people. If my people, see, so that is the day in which we are living, is God, you say, what should I do? Seek the Lord. Repent. Find out what God wants with your life. Don't get occupied with other stuff. Now you can see this morning, you could feel the backing and filling when we were starting here. People were praising the Lord. Well, Bob Porcelli and I have got to be very sensitive to the Lord. We've got to know, should we start the song service? Should we not stop the song? Should we have an altar call? That's why I say, all of us who minister must pray. Because God is so real and moving so real that unless we come pray to where we're sensitive to the mind of the Spirit, we're going to miss it. We're going to be conducting our service. But the will of the Spirit isn't going to be done. So we're not going to get spooky, and we're not, you know, going to get all in an uproar about it. But we've just got to pray more and more that we will, every person who ministers will know, just have that sense of timing. This is the way the Spirit's going. You cannot do that without prayer. You have to pray, or you can't know. You can't know that sensitivity of how the Lord is going to go. Because we may come some morning, we may praise through to 3 p.m. I mean, we're coming to that day. You say, how horrible, I'll miss Mickey Mouse, I'll miss all this that's going on at home. Yes, you will miss Mickey Mouse. But then you'll find out the next day that half of the eastern seaboard's dropped in the ocean or something. And you'll realize that God is guiding you so that you'll be in the right place at the right time, because that same sensitivity that is leading you in church will lead you in the hour of destruction. And you won't be blind as Lot was, but you'll have your eyes open like Abraham. You'll know. But if you're not praying, if you're not that sensitivity in church, how are you going to be sensitive when God speaks to you at home and that little quickening comes to pray and your momentum's on you and you say, boy, it's 7:30, it's coming on, we've been waiting for this all week, and you've got that little thing said. Or you're right at the climax of the most thrilling show you've ever watched. I mean, you're right at the punchline and that little voice comes to pray. See, a little voice comes to pray. And boy, you're really torn, aren't you? When it's over, I'll pray. But if you were reading, I was reading a lady's biography in which she told she was in the house with her daughter. They were sitting in the bedroom doing something, getting ready to go to bed or something. And the Lord said, go out of this room into the front room. And she felt that prompting, and luckily she wasn't watching a television show and was right at the climax. So she went out and bang, like that, a tornado hit their home and just wiped the thing out. And then they were saved. But if she hadn't have moved with her daughter, she wouldn't have been saved. See, there wasn't 5 minutes. See? There wasn't when the program's concluded. So your ability to be sensitive and not to ride through the checks of the Spirit, but to know the mind of the Lord. I'm not talking about spookiness, you know, I'll go where the Lord leads me. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about a sober, mature Christian who's praying and walking in the Spirit. You can't say, I'll go after the game is over, after the commercial, or before the commercial, or during the commercial. I'll pray during the commercial. Huh? No. You leave it right then. And if it bothers you to do that, don't begin it. You see what I mean? Keep yourself in that place of prayer so that you know what God is doing. So that's where we are. Now he says, yet a little while and the world will see me, but you see me, and because I live, you shall live also. At that day, now that expression always means the day of the Lord. It's all through Isaiah, at that day, that's the day when Christ is exalted in our lives, you will know that I am in my Father. It won't be theological, it will be a conscious, personal presence that Christ is in his Father. You'll know that by experience, and that you are in him and he is in you. This is what's going to protect you in the hour that's coming, the 91st Psalm. See, he that abides, that's what's going to protect you in the day that's coming. Not the United States, not anything else. What's going to protect you is being in that secret place of the Most High. Praise the Lord. Oh, and that takes prayer. And you are in me, and I am in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself. You see, when I'm talking about a coming of the Lord that's not his coming in the clouds of glory, I have solid scripture. It is. I will manifest myself to him. Has Jesus manifested himself to you? I'm telling you, we're in this day. And you can get down at the Bible in your hand and say, Lord, you man said you would do it, and here I am, Lord, I'm a Christian, and that's what it says. Where are we? You know, that sort of thing. You're not looking for anything weird. You're looking for the Lord to make himself so real to you, because we are living in a day when he's going to have to be that real to you. Because the things in which we trust are going to leave us. And we're going to, you know, we're sitting there in a house and there's no electricity and there's no heat and there's no hot water and there's no, maybe no water and no food or anything. And here you are with little children. You're going to do one of two things. You're either going to run out of the house yelling, or you're going to compose yourself and say, Jesus, now's the time. Right? Amen. Amen. Well, he fed Elijah, didn't he? And he'll feed you if you're in touch. But if you're not in touch, you'll be blind. Where is it? Where did all my support go? So he's making that transition to us now. I will manifest myself to him. Right? That's a coming, but it's not the coming in the clouds. I want you to see this clearly so you won't run around town saying, our pastor's gone berserk. He's teaching another coming of the Lord. I want you to know. Somebody asks you, where is it in the Bible? Here. This is where it says, I will manifest myself to him. All right, how are you going to do it? And then he speaks about the Feast of Tabernacles. We will come and make our abode with him. This is how he's going to manifest himself. So we're talking about the coming of the king and the consequent judgment. That it is a coming. And obviously isn't going to happen after any rapture, after the Lord comes from heaven. It's going to happen before the Lord comes. In other words, this John 14:23, this is the marriage of the Lamb here. And the sign of it will be when the Lord comes. The change of our body. The bride has made herself ready. We've got to make ourselves ready. We can't be caught off guard. We have to be made ready. And then, see, then we're all set. Then our bodies are changed. And the thing is over. So the coming of the Lord is not the beginning of judgment. It's the conclusion. It's the seal of approval upon us. So the judgment has to be prior. Do you see the reasoning of that? The judgment has to come before we're caught up. Can you see that? It cannot come after we're caught up. We can't be raised from the dead, glorified, and go into judgment. We have to be judged. Well, does the Bible say it? Very, very plainly. All right, now the type that we've used the most in this church is the Feast of the Lord. So after Pentecost, now we've been at Pentecost, we understand, Pentecost has covered the world. It's the fastest growing missionary church in the world today is Pentecost. So God has instituted this feast, but some of us in here are second generation Pentecost or third generation Pentecost. The idea is, what's God going to do next? All right, he shows us very plainly. Trumpets is this coming. That is talked about in John 14:18. This is the trumpets, the coming of the king. I will come to you. I will come. I will manifest myself. You will see me. Not the world. You will see me. All right? Now, when he comes, immediately you have the Day of Atonement, which is our atonement. I almost got it. You think it's easy. You should try talking and writing and everything. Atonement. Now, this is what we're talking about, and we'll be talking about, I think, as the Lord leads us. This is the day of fire. This is the day of reconciliation.
We're a Pentecost, but we still, see, the Pentecost loaves are offered with leaven. We have a lot of sin in us. We have a lot of self-seeking in us. And you can see this in Pentecost. If you just look at the church, you can see the self-seeking. You can see the kingdom building. You can see the adultery and fornication. You can see the impurity. You can see the love of money. You can see the personal ambition. You can see all these things. We're not yet reconciled to God. See? We're still talking about the big preachers. These things are an abomination to God. Fancy buildings, that's an abomination. God's not interested in big preachers, big buildings. God is interested in the poor, the widows, the orphans, and holiness. Pure religion and undefiled is to keep yourself unspotted from the world and to visit the orphans and the widows. That's pure religion, not fancy churches. Big platform ministries, a big hullabaloo, Mark 4, Continental. That's not the gospel. The gospel is to visit the widows and orphans, and we need to follow up on that, Lori. We need to follow up to make sure that woman, I see Jeannie nodding her head, we've got to get on to that, so we don't lose sight of that, because there may be a financial need there or something. That's the business of the church, is to take care of the widows and the orphans, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's what God's after, not a big hullabaloo. That's not it. That's not it. But that's what we see in Pentecost. Why? Because in Pentecost, we've been saved, filled with the Spirit. But now, the Lord is showing us what He is like. And He's different than He's usually portrayed. And then we come to Tabernacles, which is the actual marriage of the Lamb. When we're joined, we're not going up to heaven to have an Anglican ceremony, God the Father with His black book. The marriage of the Lamb means we're brought into union with Jesus. And so we say, where's the Day of Atonement fit in? That's the purification of the bride. Now you find in Esther chapter 2, verse 12. I think that Esther's in the book for just a couple of reasons, and this is one of them, is chapter 2, verse 12. It's way back there. You can take my word for it. It's there. Esther 2, 12. Now, when every maid's turn was to come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, or beautification, or purifications. See, before you go into the king, there has to be a period of purification. And that's what we're talking about in the Day of Atonement and in this coming of the Lord to us. Before we are married, there has to be this time accomplished to be 6 months with oil of myrrh. Now, if you'll notice that when Jesus was on the cross, they gave him wine and myrrh. Wine represents joy. Myrrh represents bitterness. And you find in John, that's in Mark, what? 15, verse 23. And then over in John, you'll find that when they prepared the body of Jesus, they used myrrh. Because myrrh is embalming. So you have 6 months with myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors. That means that as the Lord prepares you, you're going to go back and forth from times of bitterness to times of great joy. So you have to have both. If you just have myrrh, you'll be a sourpuss. You will. You'll get so gloomy. And listen, that can happen. You get too much myrrh in your diet. Really, you get too much myrrh in your diet, and you go under. You really will. It will warp your personality. And that's an occupational hazard of preaching too much on the death route and on these things. Because God's people become morose and gloomy. You've got to be strong to go through the Day of Atonement. That's why it comes after Pentecost, not before. You've got to be strong, because when the Lord begins to deal with you about crucifixion and the sin, pretty soon you think, well, there's nothing I'm hearing in that church but bad news. See? But you've got to have 6 months of oil of myrrh. But if you can put up with it, after that will come the good stuff. The revelation of Christ. The answers to your prayers. The insight into spiritual things, the fruitfulness and the dominion, all the good stuff will come. The spices and the sweet odors will come. That wonderful presence and intimate relationship of Christ will come if you can be patient with the oil of myrrh. But
You can't just jump to the odors and the sweet spices. That bride goes up before Christ. If you come up before Christ and say, Lord, give me a report card. See, you can't come into His presence and just say, I'm just going to praise You. Because when the Lord looks, He sees the praise, but He also sees that your personality is not right. See, you're trying to give Him just the sweet odors. Now, there's a place for that. But you see, I know that by personal revelation. Because many years ago, I wanted to go home to be with the Lord. I was 30 years ago, more. And one time I was kneeling in prayer, and I said, Oh, Lord, as I knelt, I could see the Lord. I said, I just want to come to You now. I just want to be with You. And I saw myself, and I was in a wedding garment, but it was all torn and spotted. I still remember that. See, I wanted to go praise the Lord. I just want to be with Him. I just want to worship Him. But I was so full of self-seeking and sin, it was piteous. So that's why I have to preach as I do, and why the Bible talks this way, is because we're saved and filled with the Spirit. That's the tools and the authority to get started. Now, the Lord is coming to us with oil of myrrh and with sweet spices. And when the Lord is finished, and we've had enough of the pain and enough of the glory, we'll be mellow. And we'll be ready for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this is the way it is. You can't get it going through the air. And evidently you can't get up in heaven. I don't know what goes on up there, because the Bible speaks so little about it. But I do know what goes on down here. And what goes on down here. Somebody got to watch for Christmas. What goes on down here is oil of myrrh. Praise the Lord. Glory. Well, I tell you, that should make you so happy you'd be a fright. All right, now, the Lord is coming. Now, in Acts, this is a real coming, and why should we be living at this time? I don't know, but we are. So there it goes. Many that are first shall be last. We come in at the 11th hour, we still get a denarius. We still get the same coin as people that have been working for 2,000 years. All right, Acts 3, it's in here. I know it's in here. All right, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, Acts 3:19, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That word times in the Greek is plural. In some of the newer translations, it's not expressed in the plurality. It is a plural noun. Times. And it means opportunities. Seasons of opportunities. And we are in a season of opportunity. 83 is going to be a season of opportunity. And it's your opportunity to attain to the throne. There never has been such an opportunity. And that's the gift of the overcomer of Laodicea. But also in Laodicea you find these words. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You also find that's the church of judgment. Then he says, if any man overcome, he will go up to the throne. First he says, I stand at the door and knock. And that's what's going on today. Christ is at the door of the church. He's here. He's going to prepare us for his coming in the clouds. It is a real coming of the Lord. It is not just saying that. This is a coming, the coming of Malachi chapter 3. Behold, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. It is the coming of Hosea 6. The Lord, you see, He shall come unto us as the rain. As the rain. Not as coming in the clouds of heaven, but in the as the rain. Alright, now, Acts 3:19. Time shall come from the presence of the Lord. And this has to do with the presence of the Lord. Christ has never been as present in His church as He will be, I believe, during 1983. He has never been as present. But His present means both myrrh and wine. It will mean, and spices, it will mean that will be a time force of tremendous decision making. A time of division, separating from us that which is vile. I believe we've come to the time of the wheat and tares. I believe that. You see, when the two come to maturity, and a sin isn't mature in the earth, I hate to see it when it gets mature. Because it's getting pretty bad, right, Leslie? I mean, we don't even talk in these. I know some churches spend a lot of time talking about the Antichrist and talking about the things that are going on. But all that's going to do is we'll be walking out of here on our stomach to hear of the dastardly
filthy, perverse things that are going on. Kidnapping of children. I'm telling you, we shut it out, don't we? We shut it out. We don't want to hear it. We were singing Jingle Bells. We don't want to hear the murder of children, the perversion of children. We don't want to hear these things. But brothers and sisters, they're happening. They're happening. And Jesus said, when they come to maturity, he's going to separate. And what I'm telling you is that separation has begun. And I believe further, Leslie, and this is one to contemplate, these scriptures that talk about like the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins are not talking about our going up in the air, but are talking about something that's going to happen before the Lord comes. And that he's going to separate between his people, and that separation has begun. And afterwards, when those that did not come in want to come in, they'll try and they won't be able. And that these don't have nothing to do with flying through the air. And that the parable of the virgins that I've taught it as meaning the rapture, I don't believe it does. Because the Lord says in the day that Lot went out of Sodom, well, when he went out of Sodom, he didn't go vertically, he came horizontally out. And I believe that what God is telling us today is to come out of Sodom. And what we're hoping is that we can go along with one foot in the world and business as usual and keep on with our jobs and everything else as it is. And when the Lord comes, he'll lift us out of Sodom. But I'm beginning to see something in the Old Testament and the New that when the Lord comes, all this will have been done in advance. That he is not coming to catch us out of Sodom. He's coming to rule. And we will be caught up to meet him, provided we already have been rescued to Sodom and have been purified. And this is what fits the types. So the coming of the Lord is a complex, multi-stage event, and that it has begun now. The time. Remember John 14. Don't lose your scriptural moorings. And he shall send Jesus Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the times. Again, the Greek noun is plural. And again, some of the translators don't make it plural. They miss the punch. It is times. It is the Greek word chronos, which means chronological time. The other one means opportunities. The times, plural. Times. So we know twice here the Holy Spirit has told us the coming of the Lord is a plurality. There's a plurality to it. And you see, it's happening just like Jesus said. You're going to be caught off guard. You know why we're caught off guard? Because we've got our own idea of how Messiah is coming. And isn't that what happened to the Jews? They had their idea. They said, when he comes, he's coming like Caesar. And so when he came as a baby in a manger, they said, this isn't Messiah, because when Messiah comes, he's going to be like Solomon. He's going to be like David. And they're still waiting for Solomon and David to come. See, when Messiah came, they missed him because they had a preconceived idea. Well, now we've been taught this stuff about the rapture, but we're missing it because we're looking for a catching up. And that isn't what God's talking about. He's talking about a division and a harvest. Because the types do not show a catching up prior to the coming of the Lord. But they do show a judgment. Matthew 24. I saw something in here yesterday when I was praying and reading. I never saw before. Isn't it wonderful when you read the Bible, see something you never saw before? I know it's the Holy Spirit, because you could read this thing. You could have a Greek, make a Greek study of it and take every word and blow it up on a screen and look at it and know everything I've ever done about it and never get what's being said here. It has to be the Holy Spirit. Now, look carefully. Look carefully. Now, this is something I notice, and you see what you think about it. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, thank God, Christ is coming after the tribulation. It's in the book. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, and we are coming up to them. We haven't gone through this, but I tell you, we can see the world shaping up to it. Isn't that right? Huh? Well, if you don't see it, boy, you sure living somewhere else. I'm telling you, you don't have to be canny or politically savvy to see that something's going to happen. After the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened? Well, that's a big sign. It may get very cold at that time. I don't know how that's going to work out. And the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, this is not exactly what you would call a secret coming. I mean, these are kind of big calling cards. Hey, I'll tell you when I'm coming. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to blot out the sun and the moon, and I'm going to shake the stars around. I mean, these are the kings saying, I'm at hand, right? Is that what it says? That everybody says that's what it says. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. Now, to me, this is the gathering of the church from the earth. I'm just simple hearted enough to believe that he's going to gather his elect from the four winds with the sound of a trumpet. Right? All right. So this is the coming of the Lord. And in Revelation 1:7, it says, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Well, naturally, you're going to see him. He sent calling cards. It's no surprise. You know, what's that? The sun's dark and the moon's dark and the stars? Well, what's going to happen? Everybody's brother knows Christ is coming. I mean, he's telling you. There's no surprise here. It's manifest that he's coming. This isn't where he's going to come and catch you off guard. Man, when you see those things, you'll set your house in order, won't you? Well, if you don't, boy, you're slow in the upper story. All right. So that's the coming of the Lord. And so then, and then you go on to verse 40 in context, then shall two be in the field and one shall be taken and so on, and where the carcass is, there the eagles are and all that. All right, that's the coming of the Lord that the Bible teaches of. He blows the trumpet, he comes, he gathers together his elect from heaven and from earth all unto Christ. All right, now, I see in this chapter another coming. Now look, start at verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now he can't be talking about the same coming, because in the coming we just got through, he told you when he was coming. When you see the sun darken and these things, you know I'm coming. Now he says you won't know. So we're talking about something different. But this, know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think, not the Son of Man cometh. Now, I'm submitting to you that this coming here is the coming of John 14. Now, notice the purpose of it. The purpose of it is judgment. Who, then, is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder. Now, what I'm suggesting to you is that this is the coming of John 14, where he said, I will come to you. See, this is a coming to God's people. And it is a coming for the purpose of judgment. Now, if the Lord were... Now, let's say that this coming here was a coming that's going to happen tomorrow. Well, the church is not ready. Don't you see? The church is not ready. How could practically nobody would be ready to be raised from the dead and glorified with Jesus Christ? Because there's not going to be a judgment after that time. We couldn't be raised from the dead and put on a glorified body and be gathered to Jesus and then judged. So this judgment that he's talking about is a judgment of his people, has got to take place before the Lord comes. Because his coming is a seal on that which has been done previously. There's an awful lot of scripture to back this up, and we'll be getting into it. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40, because we're about through this morning, and I don't want to clutter your brains with too much. All I want to leave with you, the take home, is just one thought this morning, just one thought. The thought is this: the preacher may be right, and if he is, I better get on my prayer bones and find out. See, because the assumption that is current in the churches, Isaiah 40, the assumption that is current in the churches is that Christ, it's kind of like a peekaboo. In other words, I don't know if I'm ready or not, but when the Lord comes, surprise, surprise, maybe I'll be ready. The Bible doesn't teach that, saints. It says, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And Amos says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. See, woe, because as if a man did run from a lion and a bear bit him. Well, if that's the case, then we don't want the Lord to come. Well, we do want the Lord to come. But the Bible says when he comes, he's going to come as a fire. Well, we don't want the Lord to come. But when he comes, he'll raise us up in the glory. But we do want the Lord to come. We don't know whether we want the Lord to come. We don't want the Lord to come. Because the Old Testament teaches clearly that when he comes, he is coming in judgment. See? So what is the answer to this? The answer to this is what it says in John 40. Before Isaiah 40, before the Lord comes in the clouds to the world, he is coming to make his church ready and set part of the church. See, you and I are make your decision today. Some of you may make your decision today that will affect you for eternity. And God will watch your heart as he's watching my heart in this hour, and you will either find yourself being drawn over to the Babylonish church, or you will find yourself coming out with God's elect. It has already begun, and you will make your choice. You will evade the issue if, like people say, somebody was telling me, they had this Wilkerson church, and they were trying to play it for their relatives who were Christian Pentecostal people. You know what they said? It was so revealing. They said, not now, this is Christmas. Think of that. Not now, this is Christmas. They had relatives with them who were Pentecostal, who need to hear what God is saying. Now, figure out the logic of that. Christmas is the birth of Christ. We don't want to hear what he's saying because we just want to enjoy the health and the good things that God has given us. We don't want to hear what the prophet is saying in the land. Let me tell you something. They won't listen to it after Christmas either. See, because then it'd be New Year's. I don't want to hear it on New Year's because the family's still here. And after that, it'll be something else, and it'll be something else, and it'll be something else, and something else. And without realizing it, the bride will go into the chambers with the Lord and know all things that the carnal church never heard of and be in sweet intimacies with him. And when they wake up, they will go for that experience and they won't be able to enter in. And I believe that that's the meaning of the virgins, because it doesn't fit the historic coming of the Lord. Has nothing to do with being taken out of the clouds. It has to do with coming into union with Jesus, and you have to do it now. And if you don't, and if you wait till after Christmas, you'll find there'll come a time when you say, oh yeah, I remember that experience, I want it now. And you'll find in the spiritual realm, the door is closed. Mark my words. So you can't just approach God when you want to. You can't repent. You know, many a person, the day of salvation has come, and they say, later. And then at their deathbed, they decide, I'm going to repent. And they found that they could not repent. You don't realize it, but repentance is a gift. You can't just say, when I get ready, I'll repent. When I'm 23, I'll repent. It doesn't work that way. And young people, it doesn't work that way when you're young either. When God, you feel the Spirit of God dealing with your heart, the day may come when that stops. And when that stops, you are in trouble. And you can be 19 or you can be 15. God doesn't weigh things as human beings weigh them. God is a spirit, and he is very serious about what he does. And when you feel that little prompting of the Lord, you respond. You may find when you get ready to respond, it's not possible. And the same thing is true of what we're talking about. God is inviting us today into a love relationship with Jesus, into absolute total communion, and he's inviting us to be purified with the myrrh, with the spices. And we can say, oh, hidey ho, after Christmas. And we may find out that after Christmas, now I'm ready. And the Lord, no answer. You can't just do it. We don't realize it's a season of opportunity, and we think it's always there. But if you've ever had that dreadful feeling of having the spiritual door closed, and you realize that you cannot just come in when you want to, you can only come in by invitation, then you will say, what have I done?
That's why the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because you have missed the day of your visitation. This is the day when God is revealing His Word, maybe as it has never been revealed in the history of man, all over the United States, all over the earth. God is speaking to people. We get the letters. Oh, God has been showing me that. Thank you for preaching. God has been showing me that. Look at Isaiah 40. The voice of Him. You see, it says, comfort ye my people. But you notice what it says, speak ye comfortably and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. You have to go through this warfare. You have to go through this uproar of judgment, this oil of myrrh. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. Jerusalem always gets it in the neck twice. God judges the world, but He judges the church twice as hard. See? And then, in context with this, the voice of Him that cries in the wilderness, this is what is happening today. This is what is happening today. That's what the Wilkerson tape is all about. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Lord will not come to an unprepared church. He will not do it. When Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, the way will already have been made. Every valley shall be exalted. That is, the people who sit in church and they never, you know, rouse themselves to anything. They're just kind of a valley. They're always living in the gloom. They can't get any victory. God wants to raise them up today and give them strength. Every mountain and hill, that is all the big preachers, all the big hotshots, prominence shall be made low, humility. The crooked people that are living in dishonesty. Dishonesty, lies, deceits, dishonesty, stealing, lying, to be made straight. You don't want Christ to catch you in that. And the rough places, things that are not right in the sight of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. When? It happened a little bit when Jesus was born. It's going to happen a lot more because all flesh didn't see it then. But the day will come when all flesh sees the glory of the Lord. And you know where they're going to see it? In you and me. Because our light's going to come. And the glory of the Lord is going to be seen in God's people before Jesus comes from heaven. The way is going to be made straight. And the world will be without excuse. It will know that God has chosen His people. But before that glory of the Lord is revealed to us, in us, Christ has got to drive out the money changers. That's now. That's today. And the Lord will come to you. And the best prayer is, Lord, get it over with. Get it over with. And the Lord will say, I'm going to deal with you about this. Don't say, I can't put up with that. I've got to hang on to this. Don't do that. That is so wasteful. And you may provoke the Lord to the point where He says, well, have it your own way. Be quick. Say, Lord, You can take from me my eye teeth right out of my head. I don't care what You do. Just get it over with. That's the only prayer. Don't drag your feet and make yourself miserable and everyone around you miserable. Be quick. Be prompt. Say, Lord, just get at my heart and purge out all the old junk and the self-will and the self-love and the fears and doubts and get me purified so I can get ready for some of the good stuff. The spices, the presence of the Lord, the southerly breezes on the garden. First comes the north breeze and then the south breeze. The wine, you're on the cross, and here comes the wine, but it's mixed with myrrh. See? And you're on the cross already, and the wine comes and it's mixed with myrrh. Brother, sister, let God have His way. Let God have His way. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we thank You for the tremendous and dreadful hour in which we live. We simply, Lord, will not be captured by the Sodomish, Gomorrish, Babylonish world that is trying to make Christ the basis of retail sales to save all the department stores. Lord Jesus, Lord, we enjoy the simple things of Christmas and the gathering of our families and the old hymns, and we love those things, Lord, and we preserve that inheritance for our children. But Lord, we simply will not be a partaker, Lord, of the terrible things that are going on in our day and the substitute for the Holy Spirit, Lord. The garish adornments, the excitement, the activities which are nothing but the dead flesh. We simply, Lord, will not live in Sodom. And Lord, we feel your Spirit drawing us out from the eating and the drinking, the making merry, the marrying, the giving in marriage, the planning and the selling and the buying and the business as usual. We feel your Spirit is calling to us to come out and to seek the Lord and to give ourselves to the seeking of your face. Hallelujah. That in the day of our visitation, in the opportunity for the heavenly romance, we might not have missed it because we were attracted by the things of the world. Lord, we are ready to move out with you. I want everyone right now, you just bow in your heart before Jesus. If God is dealing with you about something, give it to him. If not, it may cause you untold grief. And the thing that you hold to yourself will turn around to plague you. If Abraham had held on to Isaac and not offered him, Isaac would have grown up to be a juvenile delinquent just as sure as the world. He would have been ashamed to his father and ashamed to his mother if Abraham had not obeyed God. And the thing that you want and clutch to yourself will turn out to be poison and a destruction to you if you don't give what God wants, because he's seeking your good and he wants your obedience. And no matter what demands he makes, do it, because the spices will come and the sweet odors will come and the glory will come if you hold on and obey the Lord and trust in him. So why don't you just right now, if God is dealing with you, just give him what he asks for. If it's a person, if it's whatever it is, just say, Lord, from this point on forward, I am going to do your will without regard to the sodomish culture in which I live. But I'm coming out, Lord, in my heart, and I am going to serve you and seek you with all my might. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just make that covenant with the Lord. Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us not to look back. Oh, Jesus, help us not to look back in sentiment or whatever it may be. Lord, the past is wonderful. It's over, Lord. It had its laughs. It had its tears. It had its joys. It had its sorrows. It had its life and it had its death. But Lord, it's over. It's gone. It's gone into the past history. And here we are today, Lord, and the doors of glory are open. And you're passing by your church with your eyes of fire and your feet of bronze. And Lord, you are calling us. Grant that we'll have ears to hear and that our spirit will respond. And not that we'll turn again and say after Christmas, after New Year's, when I feel like it, when my relatives go home, when the kids are off to school, then I'll seek your face. Lord, we know it will never happen. It will never happen. Lord, give us a different spirit. Hallelujah, that we may be prompt and obey you with alacrity. Lord, we've had our fill of Sodom, the bright lights, the glitter, the promises held out that never materialize because they're empty, they're hot air, they're misery, they're sirens on the beach, and they're dead men's bones. The glamour of it stinks like a cesspool. It stinks, and people go on in their death hoping to find joy, and all they find is remorse, bitterness, ruined health, tragedy. God, help us not to look back this morning. You're leading us out of Sodom. Help us to get out, Lord, because we know the fire is coming. And if we look back, we'll be visited with eternal fire. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we hear your voice in the day in which we're living. We know you're present. We know you've come to divide between the clean and the unclean. Hallelujah. You've come, Lord, to make ready a people prepared for your name, for the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we'll take the oil of myrrh and then the spices, Lord, that we may be ready when the King comes. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. Help everyone, Lord, that's in a battle this morning. Cause them to make the right decision and give them peace, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. If anyone's here and you're in a terrible battle, why don't you come to the altar right now and let the saints pray with you, pray with you. I feel prompted in my spirit that someone here is having a real battle, maybe with sin. You need to come to the altar right now, I tell you. I just talk about tomorrow. You get yourself up here. Praise the Lord. What is it, Lord? Who is it? What are you doing? Lord, put your thumb right on it. And I pray, Lord, that all secret sins will be brought out into the light. I pray we'll be made manifest. Lord, if there's secret sin among us, make it manifest. Bring it out, Lord. We want the church to be holy. Hallelujah. Put your fire on it, Lord, that which can be burned will be burned. Hallelujah. 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 Shall we stand? I seem to feel a little release in my spirit, maybe. Hallelujah. I don't know. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you today. I'd like altar workers, please, to come up and pray with these men with man, woman with woman. Would you come up now while we're praying? While the need is here, those that work at the altars, would you please come, women with the women? Just come right from where you are and come up here now and find out if there's a need here, they wouldn't come. And if you have a need, come. I tell you, the pressure of the Lord is on my spirit. I don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. Oh, Jesus, you're so real. You're so real. You're right here, Lord. And you're commanding us to seek your face, to repent, to come to know you in a way that we have never known you. Hallelujah. You said you'd manifest yourself to us, Lord. And I know it's the hour and the judge is at the door and judgment has begun in the household of God. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we pray as we conclude this year, Lord, that we'll come into the new year and in great strength, great determination. Lord, if there's anyone else in here that's tarrying in Sodom and looking back, longing for that which used to be, we pray they'll get up here this morning and ask God to close that door. It's over, it's dead, it's gone. And we're on the march. We're coming out. Hallelujah. That we might be a people peculiarly the Lord's. And the world is behind. And Christ is in front of us. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Praise the Lord. Make sure there's a woman with each woman here at the altar. Praise your name, altar workers. There's a need here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If there's any secret sin in your life, get up and confess it here. The Bible says confess your sins one to another. And if you're doing something that's not right, get yourself up here. It's not right and you're doing it and you're bound in it. You get yourself up here. Because God's going to reveal that thing and you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be crushed. Now you get yourself up here and confess it to the saints. Confess your sins one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. If you're doing something and it's not right, you get yourself up here. Praise the Lord. Let God help. Let God help. The people will pray for you. And God will make everyone whole. I've confessed my sins many, many times. There's something wrong. Get yourself up here. If you're living a fake and you know it, and it's phony and your heart isn't right, get yourself up here. Hallelujah. The things we're telling you by revelation, things Christ gave us, we didn't make them up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't care what age you are, you feel a prompting, you get yourself up here. You don't know you're going to be living tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of people in our nation will die over this next holiday. We have no guarantee of anything. People on the radio and the sound of my voice may not be alive. Monday after the Sunday they hear it. Because Sandalalavahashulia. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you, Lord, that in your goodness and your love you have warned us of the tremendous things which this coming year has in store for the Church of Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, that dreadful things are coming on the world, men's hearts failing them for fear. And you have come in your love to strengthen us so that we might not go down with the worldly, Lord. We might not perish with the worldly. So, Lord, we praise you again. Thank you, Lord. We pray that everyone will have peace, Lord, and get the victory this day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory, glory to God. I'm going to ask Carrie Marley, if you will, to just dismiss us in prayer. And then, please, don't talk around the altar. Let's get the job finished here. Talk in the back, in the foyer.
If you have to go to the tapes, maybe better wait now till we finish our altar thing and we'll get them out as quickly as we can. Or go around to the back door. You can get your tapes around the back and through into the tape room so we don't disturb the altar. Somebody might be making an eternal decision this morning. So if you want your tapes, just go around to the back door and Hank will get them to you through the back door. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ask Carrie Marley then to dismiss us in prayer. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Barakahandara lavaha shilia lavaha lavaha silia. Oh, yes, Lord. Abarakahandara lavaha shilia ki silia lavaha. Ilia lavahandara lavaha shilia lavaha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Now, God bless everyone. Keep in a spirit of prayer. Till evening service, those that can come early and pray.